True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is Coronavirus Daily. I'm Charles Feldman.
And I'm Mike Simpson from the KNX Odyssey Studios in L.A. In Alabama, 70% of adults not vaccinated.
One state lawmaker in California tired of people who refuse to get vaccinated. She's now calling to make the vaccines mandatory.
NFL teams could be forced to forfeit games if not enough players are vaccinated and there's a COVID outbreak.
The Tokyo Olympics underway. Even more and more athletes testing positive for the virus. Can they get across the finish line?
We start with a problem in a number of southern states. Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Tennessee, and Arkansas continue to have the lowest vaccination rates in the nation. Dr. Rachel Lee, epidemiologist at the University of Alabama. Doctor, seems like the numbers are pretty bad in your state right now.
Yes, unfortunately, that's what we are continuing to see here in Alabama. Our rates are abysmally low. We're about 33% fully vaccinated here in Alabama.
And what do you think the problem is? Is it just straight mistrust of the vaccines? Is it people thinking this is the first round of COVID, which maybe they avoided or maybe got, and now they're going to be okay? This is also an all-the-above situation, but I mean, when it's that low versus, you know, where other states are and hope to be 60 and then maybe climbing towards 70, that's still a huge gap. So that's a lot of people who can still get this.
Right. I agree with you. I think it's multifactorial. In talking to my patients that are not fully vaccinated, you know, the first concern always is that the vaccine is worse than the disease itself. And if we think about some of the data that's out there, you know, this case fatality rate not being worse than 98%. So you may think, oh, I'm going to take my chances by getting COVID because the chance of me dying is incredibly low. I think that's unfortunately kind of cutting the data in the wrong way, because what we know now is that patients can have severe illness, they can have long COVID. And really what we want is to protect our patients from getting these symptoms. And if we have something that is safe and effective, and over 3 billion people worldwide have received COVID vaccines, then I think that's where we need to start thinking through this and saying, yes, we can trust this vaccine. It is safe.
You know, we mentioned at the very top of this that viral video of a doctor in Alabama who had patients who had been unvaccinated, who got COVID, were dying, and thought that the vaccine might be something they could now take to help cure them. Have you encountered any patients like that?
You know, I haven't seen patients like that because typically when they are, you know, in the throes of dealing with an active infection, I care a lot about their symptoms and I try my best to not make them feel that they've made a big mistake by not getting the vaccine. So really the key here is prevention, right? We really want to catch people before they could ever be exposed and talk about their concerns And that's where I think we have a lot of movement. If you've got family members that have received COVID vaccine, what we know from the data is that people trust their family members and they trust their primary care doctors. And I think that's where the grassroots movement will truly be. But it is heartbreaking to hear the stories that are out there where patients are just begging for, a chance to do things over.
Do you think people think that there's an easier treatment than there is, whether it's, name your internet drug of choice? There's different posts about different things and it goes around and there's nothing proven that can really, really help you out at this stage of the pandemic. So do you think people go into the hospital sometimes thinking, oh, well, they'll be able to get me out of this, when in all actuality, if you're going to the hospital, you're in a really bad spot?
Right. I mean, I think if you think about the data that we have for treating COVID-19, it's really not a lot. We have, we have our remdesivir, we have steroids, and we have some of those monoclonal antibodies. But I will tell you right now that the data behind vaccination is much, much stronger than the data behind those, because we've given it to so many more people. And I think a lot of people are waiting now for that FDA stamp of approval. But the data here, we have more people that have been given the vaccine before approval compared to any other vaccine that's ever been out there.
Dr. Rachel Lee, epidemiologist, University of Alabama, Birmingham Hospital.
Vaccination rates have been falling across the country, even in places where there's less resistance to vaccines, like California. More than half the people in the state are fully vaccinated.
But we got 40 million people, so it leaves a lot of holdouts. Still, there is a state lawmaker who says she wants to have a mandate in place. Democratic Assemblywoman Buffy Wicks from Oakland is with us. So, Assemblywoman, your reasons for wanting to make this mandatory, have that passport system if you want to go out and do something.
Sure. I think we can all agree we're in a surge now with the Delta variant, and if you look at the cases in hospitals, it's almost 100% people that are unvaccinated. And, basically we need to decide, are we taking this seriously or not? And I think when we think about that question, it begs the question, how are we actually enforcing that people get vaccinated? And I think about in my day-to-day life, I go to the gym, I go to a restaurant, I go to my place of employment. If I'm going to a movie theater, which I haven't done yet because I'm not quite that comfortable yet, have I ever been asked to show proof of vaccination? And the answer is no. And I would venture to say most of your audience hasn't either. And we actually have a verification system that the California state government put together where you can get a unique QR code. And I just don't think people are using it. And so I tweeted out the idea that we should be mandating vaccinations because I wanted to start a conversation about this and urging employers and businesses to require proof of vaccination to be able to enter their premises. We know that legally they can do that. And I just think we need a cultural shift around people saying, it's time that we do this. We've seen the uptick in vaccinations start to level out. And so I think it's going to require more enforcement around requiring people are vaccinated.
And that's the interesting thing that I think you just said about employers and the legality of it. And we've had many experts on the program talk about that. The law apparently is clearly on the side of employers mandating vaccinations, especially during a pandemic. And yet you keep hearing about employers, all kinds of them, coming up with all sorts of excuses. They're worried about litigation. They're worried whether or not they can force employees to do this sort of thing. They worry that they're not going to be attractive to other potential employees. How do you address that to employers?
Yeah, and it's a great question. And I've heard those same things as well. And I've spoken to school boards and, local municipalities in my district who say, we want to require this, but we're worried about lawsuits. And so one of the ideas that I have, and we're exploring this right now, is looking at potential legislation that makes it crystal clear that this is legally doable and that would disallow any kind of frivolous lawsuits to take place. Specifically on this specific COVID-19 vaccine requirement. So I'm exploring legislation right now that I think would help get rid of that argument and make sure that employers understand that they can do this. It's still incumbent upon them to do it. But I would also make the argument, as I mentioned, I go to a gym and work out. I would personally feel much safer if they asked me if I was vaccinated and had me show my QR code. And I think a lot of my fellow vaccinated guests in that facility would agree. And so I actually think if you can turn this into, this is actually a benefit to businesses, that people feel safer going to the gym, they feel safer going to a movie theater if they know that vaccination will be required. That's where I think we need to get.
There's the business side, then there's the political side. The governor has been careful to say, no, 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 we're not just doing mandates, we're not doing passports, even the digital QR code that comes from the state. They've never called it a passport. It's just the digital backup verification system. Would it be 1,000 times easier if he just came forward and said, you know what, we're doing this?
Well, you know, I think the governor's done a tremendous job leading during a very unprecedented time, you know, and he's navigating this, I think, very well and has been very forthright on pushing for more, you know, testing capacity throughout. You know, he made tough decisions around closing schools and closing businesses and has really led the charge on vaccination status. So I give him a tremendous amount of credit in terms of the work that he's done. But I do think, you know, you look at what happened today in up in here in Northern California, Contra Costa County, Santa Clara County, and San Francisco counties all did a press conference about an hour and a half ago, urging employers to require vaccination, right? So you're seeing the public county health officials saying, hey, we need to take this a step further. And it's my hope that our elected leaders will continue to push on that. And not only just elected officials and public health officials, but our leaders in the faith community, you know, our leaders in the business community, our community leaders who are out there every single day. We need to have a cultural shift where it's a norm that you get asked, have you been vaccinated? And I need to see your proof if you're going to come into my restaurant. That's where we need to be.
Sure. Let's say for a moment anyway, take some of the burden off of employers and move it to government. Is there a role for government to mandate this for the state of California, for the U.S., but let's just stick to California for this. Is there a role for the state to say that if you are going into any public place, whether as an employee or as a movie theater goer or as somebody going to work out in a gym, if you want to leave your house, you have to be vaccinated. If you don't want to get vaccinated, then fine, stay home.
Well, you know, I think a couple of things. One, you know, I want to see our local municipalities do this, right? As you mentioned, some of them are doing it. I want to see my daughter's school, Oakland Unified School District, do this, you know, so it can be done at the local level. I want to see the state of California employees be required.
But here's the thing, and I think you would agree with this. Time is of the essence here. And unfortunately, legislation takes time. Convincing sometimes employers, it takes time. We don't have that much time. Eventually, another mutation will arrive that probably will defeat the vaccines, if not in their entirety, to a larger extent than the Delta variant is now. So a lot, the clock is ticking. How do we do this quickly?
You hit the nail on the head, right? And you're right. The legislative process takes time. It's a glacial process for a reason, right? And so how do we do it? I think we have to have the fierce urgency of now. I think it's incumbent upon all of our leaders across the state to say, we're going to do this. I think it's incumbent upon our business leaders to say, we're going to step up to the plate and have a tough conversation here and require our employees to do this. Adobe's doing it as an employer. Other companies are doing it. The University of California is doing it. And now there's pressure on the community colleges and on the CSUs to follow suit. And so hopefully with peer pressure. But that's honestly part of the reason why I did this tweet, to say, okay, guys, it's time to have an uncomfortable conversation. It's time for us to step up and say, what are we actually requiring here? And it's incumbent upon all of us to do it.
Assemblywoman Buffy Wicks, Democrat from Oakland.
Coming up after this short break, could we see teams in the NFL forfeit games due to a COVID outbreak? America's most popular sports league is putting its foot down when it comes to vaccines. The NFL is threatening teams that they may have to forfeit games if not enough players are vaccinated and there's a COVID-19 outbreak.
League hopes it'll convince more players to get those shots. Amy Trask, former CEO of the Oakland Raiders, currently an NFL analyst on CBS Sports. So, Amy, take us through this new rule.
Well, the NFL is drawing a distinction. If the outbreak is due to, and when they say due to, I'm fairly certain they mean they can demonstrate that it's due to unvaccinated players, then it will be a forfeit. If the outbreak does not come from vaccinated, but comes through vaccinated players, it will not be a forfeit. And again, they're going to have to demonstrate from where the outbreak is coming. But that's an important distinction, because what that is saying is, look, if this forfeit is because you've got unvaccinated players, well, if this game, if you can't play because this outbreak comes through unvaccinated players, you're forfeiting. And associated with the forfeit is neither team will pay its players. In the event of playoff seeding for the team that has forfeited, that goes as a loss and it goes to a win as the opponent. There are some very, very significant consequences coming from this new rule that was announced today.
In our last segment, Amy, we were talking with a California assemblywoman who feels very strongly that employers must mandate vaccines. She wants to introduce some legislation to that effect in this state. But she was right about one thing, which was, well, she was right about a lot of things, but she was definitely right about that the law is on the side of employers mandating vaccines. That's very clear. Why doesn't the NFL simply mandate that all of the players have to be vaccinated?
Well, there's an important nuance to discuss in that regard. In this instance, as is the case with many employers, it involves a union. So the NFL is doing a very good job, in my view, of working with the NFL Players Association to make sure that the NFL Players Association and the NFL itself are on the proverbial same page. So the ability to do things unilaterally is not as clear cut when there is a union in question. Now, that said, the league and the union, going back several weeks and in fact, maybe a couple of months, have worked together to put some tremendous incentives in place for players to be vaccinated. For example, vaccinated players will be tested every 2 weeks. Unvaccinated players will be tested daily. Unvaccinated players are going to have to practice in masks, whereas vaccinated players won't. And I won't bore you with all the other incentives they've put in place, like meeting rooms and training rooms and gathering together with teammates. Very, very different for vaccinated and unvaccinated players. Today's announcement was the strongest yet, but the NFL and the NFLPA have been working together to provide tremendous incentives for vaccination.
And if you've got a player with a huge contract and he's a big name and he doesn't want to take the vaccine, what happens? I think we're already seeing on Twitter a player from the Cardinals saying, I might have to question my future in this league. I guess what he now questions his future in the league because this is the rule.
And that's certainly his right to do so, of course. That's stating the obvious. But you raise the issue about players who are under contract, star players, key players, important players, highly compensated players, all of that. Then there's the other extreme on the roster, the men who are fighting for those last positions on the roster. And there was a saying I learned while in the league, which was, the bus waits for some people. And that was a shorthand way of saying, if the team buses are in the team parking lot and you're getting ready to leave on a road trip and your star player is not yet on the buses are waiting for him. If it's the 53rd man on the roster, those buses are going to the airport. He can figure out how to get to the game on his own. So it's a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek shorthand way of referring to something that is very, very prevalent in the NFL. You're going to do things for key players, key men on your roster, men with whom you cannot achieve success. And it's going to be different for those men who are trying to fight for a roster spot. So while the league is now, as of now, not currently able to allow teams to cut someone simply for not being vaccinated, I will assure you that if there are three or four or five men fighting for one last roster spot at a given position, whether they say so out loud or not, and they probably won't, they're going to factor in whether a player is vaccinated or not.
Amy Trask, former CEO of the Oakland Raiders, current NFL analyst, CBS Sports. Amy, thanks.
Tokyo Olympics just getting underway, but there's no question that these games feel a little different. Japan is dealing with another COVID surge, and there won't be any fans in attendance. Many Japanese people wanted the games to be canceled.
Michael Payne is CEO of Payne Sports Media Strategies, former marketing and broadcast director for the IOC, the International Olympic Committee. He's with us from Tokyo. So, Michael, how are things looking now with some of the competitions getting started?
I think there's a great sense of relief that the games are finally happening. If you go to the athletes' village, there is a remarkable sense of energy that their Olympic moment is going to take place. I think most of the athletes from around the world were really scared that the games might not happen. This is their one chance on the Olympic spotlight, and people just want to get on with the show.
Okay, so good for them. We love to see it. These are their dreams. They're going to get to go, and they're going to get to compete. What about this other kind of feeling that we alluded to, that in Japan it's not really popular? And then even you know, you start to tap into some of the sentiment among people who would watch it from here. And it's just, you're supposed to, you know, gasp and be wowed and the spectacle of it all. And it kind of feels a little off this year. You know what I mean?
No question. You're staged in the games in the middle of a pandemic, and it is challenging times. But when you look at the situation in here, Japan, there are a few things that just don't add up. The government has banned all spectators from the Olympics, yet the baseball stadiums, the sumo wrestling stadiums are full. And you ask yourself, what's going on? And the only assumption is that the games are caught in a major political fight in the build-up to the elections. The Japanese government has been roundly accused by the local people of being slow on the vaccination, being very poor on the communications. And the Olympics has been caught in the crossfire of that, because normally the Japanese public are some of the most supportive people in the world for the Olympics. I think when Japan starts, wins its first gold medal, I think sentiment probably, though, will also change.
All right, so there are no spectators, and we keep reading here about all these polls that are showing that people who live in Tokyo are not all too thrilled. But do you get a sense, just from your interactions with people, to whatever degree you have them in Tokyo, that perhaps they're more, and you kind of hinted at it when you said when they win their first, you know, medal. Do you think that there is more enthusiasm and perhaps more pride under the surface than they're willing to admit?
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, the Japanese people are traditionally very, very proud and supportive of the Olympics. They are concerned with so many foreigners coming in here, and that's understandable. But you talked about interaction with the Japanese people. There isn't any. All of the 50,000 people, the journalists, the athletes, the officials who've come in here, we are locked in a bubble. You have to test every day. You're not allowed to go anywhere except to the venues. You're tracked. You can't go outside of the hotel. So the risk factor of any foreigner bringing the virus in is close to zero. I think the Japanese people, you know, are starting to see that the organizing committee, the IOC, has this very tight bubble. That's probably helping to build a little bit of confidence. But there's been so much paranoia and noise built up by the politicians to try and distract from their apparently shortcomings on COVID management, that it's not easy.
Well, that must be pretty interesting, because then you get to see, like, the games if you're in the bubble. But I'm wondering, if you're just outside the bubble, does it even feel like these are going on, or just like the streetlights have Tokyo 2020 banners on them, and that's about it? There's your evidence that the Olympics are happening this year.
It doesn't feel like it, to being in an Olympic city. These are my 20th games, and it's a very strange atmosphere. But I think when the sport starts, when you start seeing the incredible images on television, I think it will play out around the world very well. I've been speaking to a lot of the broadcasters here, and they're expecting record viewing and ratings because there is an excitement and hunger to watch the world's athletes, the world's best, come forward. But the political games, I mean, are strange. I mean, we take the opening ceremony today. They have continued to cut the number of officials who can attend. Everybody in the bubble, they're all accredited, yet we're not allowed to go to the opening ceremony. There's only one reason for that. Somebody's playing with the optical games to show that nobody's here.
Was that the same, do you think, what was it, the day before, I think yesterday, when there was what I interpreted as a trial balloon that was sent up with a suggestion that perhaps if more COVID cases among some of the competitors kept going up, they might have to cancel after all. Was that all just for what, domestic politics?
Well, if you actually understand how a Japanese bureaucrat would answer a question from a journalist, you'd realize it wasn't a trial balloon. The media jumped all over that issue, the international media, and completely misunderstood what the CEO of the organizing committee was saying. He effectively was not answering the question. The games are not going to be cancelled. They're going ahead. But the politicians, I mean, frankly, they've lost the plot. They don't know what to do. And the focus is to get on now with the sport.
And you think that the doubters out there, maybe they're in this country, maybe they're there. As soon as we see the opening ceremonies, as soon as competition starts, we all kind of fall back into that zone that we remember from the last 4 years and the 4 years before that?
Yes. Traditionally, there has been an increasing noise level building up to each Games. You talked about the success of Rio 4 years ago. Everybody's forgotten that they were calling for those Games to be cancelled because of the Zika crisis. And also, when you go in and look at the hard numbers here, in all of Tokyo, metropolitan region with a 35 million population, there are less than 1,800 cases a day. In Europe, in America, I mean, we would say that's a great success and open up everything.
Yeah.
the numbers, it's a very unique situation. They're calling it a state of emergency, which in any other country you would think is close to panic. State of emergency here means the streets are all full. They're all going out to the bars, that there's no serving of alcohol. There's a lot of contradictions we're seeing. And, when the politicians come back and they don't let anybody into the opening ceremony, even though you're accredited, it doesn't add up.
All right. Michael Payne, CEO, Payne Sports Media Strategies, longtime marketing and broadcast director for the IOC, talking with us from Tokyo. Michael, thanks.
We've already seen a number of Olympic athletes test positive for the virus even before the opening ceremony in Tokyo. A Czech beach volleyball player has tested positive and will not take part in the Games. She says that this is a nightmare for any athlete, for any Olympian who gets this far, this close to the Olympic competition. The Games, though, will go on, but it looks like a number of athletes won't be able to fulfill a lifelong dream due to the pandemic.
This is an Odyssey original. Find us and other originals on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.